Well, I don't know about you, but that made me a little bit hungry. I love fresh baked bread, you know, just if anyone cares. Hi, I'm Brian, and I'm the pastor of student ministries here at Church of the Open Door, and I am just really honored to be here this morning with you. I'm so thankful for Pastor Jim that gives us opportunities like this to teach and to speak from God's Word. And you know, I had a big breakfast this morning, you know, for me. A big breakfast, I had a peach, which was delicious. I love peaches. And then a big bowl of yogurt and granola and raspberries, and just kind of like mixed that all together and just ate it. And now I'm satisfied for this minute. But I can guarantee that I will not be satisfied all morning. At some point, I'm going to have to eat again. And so hopefully that won't be right in the middle of the service, but I can't promise that because of how hungry I may or may not become. But you ever think about that? I mean, we eat and then we're instantly need more things to feed us and to give us that strength and that sustenance. And you might think that I've got, you know, like this nice physique because, you know, I know how to watch my sweets and things. It's actually not that way at all. It's actually, I've become a food snob. And I can now see certain things, and I'm like, I can honestly say I don't want to eat that because I know it's not going to be as good. And if I hold out a little bit longer, I may get a more delicious treat. You know, like someone might make delicious homemade cupcakes. And I'm like, wow, homemade cupcakes. You know, that trumps store-bought cupcakes. And so I drive my wife insane when it comes to things like this because, like, we can't even, I don't know, how many of you make your own icing? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Okay, just, wow. How many of you buy icing from a can? Raise your hand. Okay. Now, some of you don't even eat icing, and you're missing out. You're missing out because homemade icing is amazing. I mean, there's like nothing better than a fresh cupcake with homemade icing, and it just like, it just gives you that little bit of energy and sweet that you need because, you know, that's what we need. We need food, our body, we become hungry. And just like me, like I'm a food snob because I like certain things and I don't like other things. And it makes us hungry. Like even me just like thinking right now of like a fresh baked, you know, French bread. I love French bread, like the crisp outside, the soft inside of the bread. I mean, that just sounds so delicious. Like it makes me think about it, and it makes me, I also started to do reviews on TripAdvisor. I don't know if you use TripAdvisor, this is just a shameless plug for them. But like I write reviews of restaurants that I like to go to and different places because I don't know if you've ever used it, but I mean, they'll tell you everything you might want to know about a restaurant. And you know, I just usually stick to the top restaurants and I'm like, they're amazing because food is delicious and it's life-giving and it's fun and I love connecting with people. And even just that, I hope I'm making you hungry just a little bit because this next 4 weeks, we have an opportunity to study God's word in John chapter 6. And so that's what we're going to kind of start this morning with is this series in John 6 called Hungry. It's the series where Jesus is describing himself and interacting with some of the Pharisees, some of his disciples. And so we're going to do that today. But really, the very first thing I want you to realize in this world is that we were made to eat. And like, if you even think about the Lord's Prayer, you know, this idea of give us this day our daily bread. Everyone say that out loud with us. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, when Jesus said that, he said, he's, you know, meaning, okay, give us exactly what we need. Maybe not what we want. Maybe we can all be food snobs and eat homemade icing instead of store-bought icing. However, you know, like God is giving us exactly what we need at exactly the right time. Hopefully we've all eaten a meal today. Hopefully we've all, you know, had that feeling where, okay, like I can go a little bit longer. But if you think about it, like that's what we need every day. We need food to give us that sustenance, to give our stomachs that full feeling, to give us energy to go. And so Jesus, in this idea of John chapter 6, is really describing this for us. So would you open up in your scriptures and turn to John 6? We've already talked about some of John 6, and so we're going to start right here in verse 22 to 25. And today's passage, 22 to 40, today's passage is a longer passage, so I'm going to have you remain seated. And we're actually going to talk through the passage all morning, and we're kind of going to read and go through. But the real issue that I want you to realize that as we go into it is that we were made to eat daily. Right? That's our bodies were made. We wake up in the morning and we have hunger. And so look at the context before we jump into our verse in verse 22. We just got finished with two awesome series. The first was where Jesus was feeding the 5,000. That's the beginning of John chapter 6, the story where Jesus, you know, multiplies just a few fish and a few loaves and feeds 5,000 at least, probably 5,000 men, more like probably 10,000 people. And he's feeding all of these people. And everyone's like, wow, this is amazing. Like people, you know, like all of a sudden we don't have food and then Jesus makes food. Like who wouldn't want to hang out with Jesus? And it was probably good bread. Like I doubt it was bad bread. I mean, like would Jesus make bad bread? I don't think he would. So it'd be delicious bread. And everyone's like, wow, I want to be with Jesus a little bit more. And so if you look, John 6, just the context of what we're doing. Then he sends his disciples out because the people got a little crazy. They were like, wow, he's so amazing. We want him to be our man. And they decide, you know, we're going to take him and make him king. And so Jesus kind of withdraws and his disciples, they go out onto the lake. And then this is the series that we finished with where Jesus is walking on water. And there's all these different things that brought the disciples fear. And so we had 42 days without fear, a time where we looked at this passage. We jumped off from this passage where Jesus walks out to his disciples. He says, it is I, do not be afraid. And so the reason I'm setting this up for you is because in the context of the passage that we're talking about, all of this is important. It's important because it's just a continuation of the story. Sometimes, even as I'm teaching and teaching with students, I forget the fact that, like, sometimes, you know, we'll look at one verse and talk about it, you know, in a letter or in a story, which is good, it's appropriate, but then oftentimes we miss the larger picture of what is going on because we only look at one verse. Well, really, this is a story. It's a narrative, and so we're going to look at the story as a whole. So Jesus just got done feeding 5,000. He just walked on water. And now here we pick it up in John chapter 6, 22. It says this. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And so I'm going to stop there. We'll pick up the story in a second. And so let me just set that up for you. Basically, you've got these men and these ladies that are just so excited about having just been fed that they're wondering, like, where's Jesus? Like, where did he go? I mean, at this point in Jesus' public ministry, there's people all over following Jesus. Like, wherever Jesus goes, there's crowds of people. And so he just left the crowd and sneaked away, and now the crowd is searching all over for him. And they're like, okay, we're checking it out. We're trying to figure out where Jesus is. It says that some boats landed. Remember in the context of the Jesus walking on water, there's a huge storm on the Sea of Galilee. So it's possible that these boats were seeking refuge from the storm and coming into the ports, and now you've got a big crowd of people, and you've got a big group of boats, and they're all like, okay, where's Jesus? And nobody knows. They're not really sure where he is. And so in the Sea of Galilee, the next kind of town over is Capernaum, which is really Jesus' headquarters of ministry. And so they're like, okay, well, let's go to Capernaum and check it out. Let's go over there and make sure, you know, he's not over there. And luckily, he is there. And they find him on the other side of the lake, and they say, you know, Rabbi, when did you get here? You know, we were made to eat daily. We were made to do that, but sometimes we want a little bit more. And let me just say this. You know, Jesus had just multiplied this bread and this fish. And the Jews in general at this time were really excited about things that they called signs. Like, they wanted to see things happen. They wanted to have things, these signs, these miracles, these things take place so that they could, like, sit back and say, like, oh, like, surely that man is a prophet. Look, he just multiplied fish and bread. Like, not just a normal person could do that. And so Paul later in 1 Corinthians, I'll put it on the screen for you, but Paul later in 1 Corinthians writes this. He says, Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom. So think about that. So Paul later is writing the fact that Jews are really demanding these signs. They're demanding that, like, they see Jesus do something. And so in some way, that's what that crowd is doing. They're demanding that Jesus do something. But look what Paul says. He says, Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. And so what the Jews wanted was basically to have bread and have life and see miracles and watch people get healed. And they're like, if we can do all that, if we can actually see that, if we can go through that process, then we'll be like, yes, this is exactly what we're supposed to be doing. This is the man that, you know, we're to follow. And that's why at the end of the feeding of the 5,000, you know, Jesus had just done this, and they're like, ho, ho, we found him. He's amazing. Look at him. And so they try to, like, take him and make him king. And, like, every time Jesus, like, somehow slips away, you know, he's like ninja Jesus, and so he, like, goes through, but this story is so important because it's really setting up this dialogue with Jesus. But the people are basically saying, like, you just gave us what we want, and when we get what we want, we're happy, and when we don't get what we want, we're not happy. None of you would ever have that experience, would you? That, like, when you get what you want, you're happy. And when you don't get what you want, you're not happy. It's funny, my son, he's 4, even though he's 6 foot already. No, I mean, he's tall. But he does great if you just tell him yes. You know, like, he asks a question, yes, son, yes, yes, that'd be great. But then you say no, and he's like, duh! Like, he goes crazy. He's psycho sometimes, like, in a good way, but, like, because he's 4. Like, he doesn't know. Like, he doesn't understand. No. But that's really how we are. I mean, like, you know, we're eat and we're satisfied, and everything is good when the answer is yes. But then when the answer is no, or the answer is, you know, like, that might be a little bit different, then that's not what... We don't always react the right way, do we? We don't always love people the right way, because we're sitting there and we're not getting what we want. We're not getting our needs met. And we sit back and say, you know, like, I've got a hunger, because our hunger really can drive us, right? I mean, like, when we're really, you know, hankering for something, I mean, I've driven 2 hours for donuts before because, you know, there's a little bakery down in Charm, Ohio called Miller's Bakery. And like, I'll drive 2 hours. Basically, where I live is just far. There's no good way of getting there. But like, sometimes there's nothing better than driving 2 hours for Mrs. Miller's donuts because that's what you do. I mean, and these people here were driven. They were driven to get what they wanted. They wanted that immediate, you know, satisfaction. They wanted their stomachs to be, you know, like tickled. They wanted to be full again. In some ways, you have this idea that just tell me what I need to do so that I can have my stomach full. Just tell me. Look at the next verses. Let me read a little bit more of the story. It says this in verse 26 and 27. So the crowds just, you know, found him and they ask him, "Hey, when did you get here?" And here's Jesus' response. He says, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." Jesus says, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." And so Jesus doesn't really answer their question, if you notice. You know, their question is, "Hey, how long have you, like, how did you get here? Like, when did you get here?" Like, only one boat left, and no one saw Jesus walking on water. So they're all wondering, like, how did this happen? And Jesus is basically like, "Hey, I know you're really wondering what I'm doing. I know that you're really wondering how I got here. But here, let me tell you something. You're seeking me not because, like, you saw signs and wonders, but simply because, like, I gave you what you wanted. You were hungry, and so now you're searching after me because you're hungry again." I mean, isn't that funny? Like, how quickly can we go away from the dinner table and be hungry again? I mean, like, and I'm still young, so, like, I'll eat, and, like, 3 hours later, I'll be like, "It's time to eat again. Like, it's time to eat another meal." Or, you know, I just learned about hummus too. So now I'll use it as a meal replacement. I'll have like three pretzels, sourdough pretzels with like amount of hummus that you might eat with like 20 pretzels. But like, I just pile the hummus on. I'm like, then I'm good, you know, for a little bit longer. But if you think about it, like in that sense, that drive that can happen for our meals, and that drive that happens is the same thing that's driving these young people. And it's amazing how Jesus is good at kind of like digging through the surface where you might think it's so simple and Jesus is just going to answer their question and everything. But Jesus doesn't do that. He just like cuts right to the heart of what's going on and points out their motives, points out what's really the issue in their life. Because, you know, it's so much more than just about filling my stomach and being, you know, satisfied, because, you know, they were just eagerly looking for Jesus to fulfill some of those natural desires. Their cravings were insatiable. They wanted to be filled and full. They were hoping that Jesus would help. You know, in some way, they've digressed just from the simple feeding of the 5,000 where they're, you know, where they saw signs and wonders and they're like, "Yes, like this guy's awesome." And in many ways, they've digressed from signs to their stomachs. And they're now like, you know, just come and give me what I want, Jesus. You know, like, where did you go? How did you do this? And what are the things that happen? And there's that daily grind that happens. There's that daily grind for you and I to get our needs met, to have our the satisfaction of food, the satisfaction of love and companionship and a purpose. And that's really what this passage is all about. And so Jesus doesn't answer their question in so many ways. And instead, he says that, you know, they've got it all wrong and that they're doing it for the wrong reasons. Now, verse 27 is very key. So look down at verse 27. He says, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life." And in that, those people there in that context really seem to grab hold of that verse, because verse 28 is them asking, like, they miss the point of what Jesus said again, which is a lot like us. I mean, we miss the point when Jesus kind of hammers that in over and over into who we are. And verse 28 says, "And then they asked him, 'What must we do to do the work God's required?'" So they're still back to, just tell me what I need to do and I'll do it so that I can have my needs met. Just tell me and, like, I'll do it. And I don't know about you, but there's so many times in my life that I walk into a situation, like, I don't want to have the creative energy to figure out what I want to do. I just want to walk in, have somebody tell me, this is what you need to do, and here's why. And like, if that was how I could go through my life all the time, that'd be great. And then I could just do what people tell me to do, and I'll get what I want. Just do it, right? And that's just not the case, because, again, they missed the point. They missed the point of what's going on in this whole situation. They missed because, you know, wouldn't that be great if people, I was walking out of a meeting the other day, and I was just like, you know what? I'd like to go out of meetings where everybody just does what I says. What I says? Everybody just do what I say, you know? Just does what I says. Just do it. Like, if I think that would be good, one of my coworkers looked at me and said, "No, that's called a dictatorship." And I'm like, "Okay, I guess I can't do that." But there's this idea that is in my brain that I'm like, if people would just do what I say, or, like, I have some sort of idea that I am the king of good ideas or the king of food, and so people should just listen to me in some way. And really, these people asking this question are really no different, because they just want Jesus to answer the simple question. Just tell me what I got to do, Jesus. Like, they're missed it because they still think that this relationship with Jesus is a thing where they can do something, you know? And they've totally missed it, because here's the answer to what's going on. Jesus says this in verse 29. So they say, "What must we do to do the work God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." It's not work. It's not like, you know, like, oh, just do this and it all makes sense, or just do this and you'll be happy. Jesus' economy is so different than yours and I. It's just different. It's transformative, because instead of, like, we're such a do culture, where instead of it being like that, Jesus is saying it's faith, it's belief. And so we have this daily hunger. We have this idea. And Jesus is basically like saying, you know, well, look, sure, you want to work? I'll give it to you. The work is belief. Believe me. Believe that I'm the one who was sent. Believe that I'm the one who's doing these things. And at the end of this series, you'll see there's a bunch of the disciples started scratching their head, and they're like, I'm not really sure. I'm not sure about this. Because it gets to the point where some of the things that Jesus says are tough. Some of the things that Jesus may call you to believe, to trust him in, might totally wreck some of your other plans. Because he might say, you know what? Trust me in this, Brian. I don't know about you, but there's some times where I just say, I don't want to, Lord, because it's hard. It's difficult. And Jesus is saying, you know, like, there's so much more. Believe in the one who is sent. And so verse 30, I'm just going to kind of keep continuing the story. Verse 30 says, so they asked him, because now they go back to signs, because, like, they're always going back and forth. And they go back and forth. So they asked him, well, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Apparently they forgot that Jesus had just fed 5,000 people. But here they make a very interesting comparison, a comparison that I want to spend just a couple minutes looking at. He says, our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. You see, we're all going to eat today. We're all going to eat at some point because we need to eat daily. But the question that you need to really ponder is, are you going to eat bread that spoils, or are you going to eat bread that sustains? Bread that sustains you for your entire life. That's really the choice that you have today. And let me kind of unpack that and explain that a little bit. It's your choice. So this passage here really is setting up this story in Exodus chapter 16. I'm not going to have you flip there, but let me just give you some of the high points of Exodus 16. And so when John is writing about this story, he says that the people were basically like, well, Moses, you know, like gave us manna in the wilderness. What are you going to do? And so there might be this little idea that, yeah, Jesus just multiplied, a few loaves and fed 5,000 people once. But in Exodus 16, bread came down from heaven for 40 years and fed the nation of Israel. Let me give you some of the highlights of Exodus 18. So they had just, or Exodus 16, sorry. They had just left Egypt, and now they're wandering in the wilderness, and they're wondering, and they're grumbling a little bit, and they're thinking about their time back in Egypt, and they always had enough. They always had enough meat, and they always had enough things, except they were in slavery. And so God is like, well, you know what? I'm going to hear your requests. I'm going to hear what you're saying, and I'm going to rain down bread from heaven for you. And so what happened is it formed in the shape of sort of like the morning dew, and then there were these flakes on the ground, and the Israelites, they all said, what is it? And so it's linguistically, they believe that the manna, the word manna sounds like the Hebrew phrase to say like, what is it? And so when you say manna, like they ate manna, really they're eating what is it? Because they didn't know. And so like all the Israelites were like, what is it? And so, but God rained it down. And he said, you know what? I'm going to rain down bread in the morning. I'm going to rain down quail in the evening. And you're going to have your full. And every single day, this is basically what the message is. Every single day, you're going to know that I'm God. Because you got to depend on me. Because what he would do is he told them, only go out and get the bread that you need for that one day. That's all you can do. One day, you can gather enough per person for one day. Because if you keep it, what's going to happen is it's going to spoil. And some people didn't listen. And they're like, eh, don't worry about it. And they kept it. And then it would get like these maggots and like people and it'd smell. And they're like, well, I guess I can only grab enough for one day. Except for on the sixth day, they would be enough for 2 days so that they wouldn't have to work on the seventh. And so there's all this bread, and these people are trusting. And let me stress again, 40 years they wandered in the wilderness and could only get enough food for one day. They knew that the bread would come down the next morning. They knew that the quail would come down the next evening, but they had to trust. They had to wait. They had to listen. They had to say, you know what? Well, this is what we're doing. And so just to review, so this manna, it came from heaven. It was sent to fill their stomachs, right? It was sent to give them the sustenance that they needed for that one day. All of the people were able to eat of it, except that it spoiled after each day and satisfies really for just one day. And so the people are saying, well, what sign are you going to do? Because God did all this. I mean, he supplied food for a nation for 40 years. Jesus, what are you going to do? And so they sat back, and this is what Jesus says in verse 32. Jesus says, very truly I tell you, and I forgot to say this, sorry. But remember a few weeks back, whenever Jesus says, like, truly, truly, or very truly I tell you, which he does multiple times in this passage, it means, like, pay attention. Like, wake up, this is very important. And so he says, it's not, very truly I tell you, it's not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And so there's this phrase, and if you're an underliner in your, if you like underlining things in your Bible, I'd recommend underlining verse 32 where it says, the true bread from heaven. Because did bread rain down in Exodus 16? Yeah. But now Jesus is using this as an illustration to grab hold of their understanding about their need for him, because true bread truly is coming from heaven. And so you have a choice, right? Of bread that spoils or bread that sustains. And Jesus is saying, you're right. You know what? True bread is coming from heaven. It's coming down. It's going to give you that lasting sustenance. It's going to be exactly what you need. All other things are going to leave you asking for more and yearning for more. All other things are going to have you a couple hours later, 45 minutes later. It's going to be like, well, I'd like to do that again, or I'd like to eat again, except for this bread that Jesus is talking about. And the people that he's talking with don't understand it. And so he just basically gets done saying, you know, this is what it is. Very truly, I tell you. And verse 34, they say, sir, they said, always give us this bread. It makes me think, it reminds me of the story in John chapter 4 when he's talking with the woman at the well who doesn't want to draw any more water anymore. And she's like, well, always give us this water to drink. And Jesus is like, nah, you missed the point. And I think that same thing is happening. The people are saying, hey, always give us this bread. And Jesus says, you know, you missed it because I'm not doing something that's going to fill your stomachs. I'm going to do something that's going to fill your soul. That's going to fill you with everything you've ever needed, because the true bread's from heaven, and the true bread is Jesus. It's him himself. And so Jesus sits back and says, look, that's what I am. You missed it. And so manna, I mean, just remember, like, that's what manna is and the things that we just talked about. But look at Jesus. I mean, Jesus, he also came from heaven, from the Father, sent to fulfill every one of our desires. And belief is that requirement of satisfaction. Where manna, you know, filled anybody who wanted to eat it. And what we're called to do is believe Jesus and trust him, because it lasts forever. Listen to what he says. The climax of the passage. The climax of what's happening on verse 35, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son, believes in him, shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. You see, I mean, look at verse 35. He wrecks them. He says, I'm the one that you should be looking for. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty, because true bread satisfies. Everything else is an imitation. And true bread, look at verse 40, true bread brings life. It brings life and godliness and excitement and joy. All those things is what Jesus is doing, because the manna only satisfied for a day. But Jesus, the true bread, satisfies daily and fulfills us daily. So think about this. I'm going to be hungry in a little bit. I just know that I will. And you know, I feel that same way in my spiritual walk, because I can't just go to some pile of bread of Jesus and be like, well, Jesus, let me take you just a little bit and I'll just walk away and I'll come back later, Jesus. Because you know what? It seems like at any time I do that, the bread like that was filling me, that relationship with Jesus that was filling me is instantly gone. Like it just seems like it's instantly disappears. because we're going to be hungry again in our walks with Jesus. And so we need to do something that, as I was just processing through, we need to really live at the table. If you take bread away, even say you took a lot of bread and went on a long journey, the bread that you take is only going to last you for so long. And that's the same thing in our relationship with Christ. In our relationship with Christ, we need to live at the table. The table that's there. And really, that's what Jesus is calling us to do. That daily requirement, that daily satisfaction. Yesterday's manna is not enough for today, ladies and gentlemen. You need to feast on Jesus daily and have him give you that sustenance. And that's why he died. Where else would we go? Where else would we go? So we need to live at the table. We live at the table because Jesus died in our place. He died and rose again and calls us to live to new life. Whether it's for the very first time or for the 100th time, we live at the table because the bread is overflowing and Jesus is saying, I'm here, it's satisfied, it's overflowing, come. And so we do that. And you know, the way that we remember that is through communion. And so when we take communion together, what we're doing is we're remembering that sacrifice. We're remembering that Jesus satisfies. We're remembering at the table. It's really, I mean, some people call communion like they're coming to the communion table. And that's what we're going to do right now. If you've placed your faith in Jesus, then feast at the table. And if you're yearning and wondering, what is this Jesus character? Come sit at the table. Come sit at the table, maybe for your very first time. And you take the bread and you take the cup and you say, Lord Jesus, I trust you. I love you. I give you my life. Thank you. And we do that every day. We feast. We feast on him and on him alone. Let's pray. Lord, may we live at your table today. God, may we be fulfilled. May we be satisfied in you alone. Lord, every other thing that we run to, every false thing will not satisfy. Every fake frosting will ultimately not be as good as that rich homemade frosting. Lord, ultimately, there's not going to be anything that's going to fulfill like you. And so I can't even remember just yesterday's meal. I need to feast today, Lord. And so we come to you, we feast today. We feast on you, Lord, because you say that you give that bread and will never hunger, will never thirst. And so we live at that table. We live at the table with you, Lord. So as we celebrate communion, Lord, would we remember that you are Lord, that you died and rose again to give us new life. It's in your name we pray these things. Amen.